Welcome back to The Exchange on KUCB. I'm Stephanie Joyce. In the second half of our program today, I'm joined by professional cake decorator Athena Jones. If you've had the chance to see one of her cakes, you know that they are part art, part edible. Thanks for joining me, Athena.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Let me just remind listeners that they can call in with their questions or comments about cake decorating. The number is 581-2161, or you can send an email to news@kucb.org. So, Athena, I just wanted to start by having you tell me a little bit about how you got into cake decorating.
Oh my gosh, it was kind of a whirlwind. I started just as a hobby. Some people asked me if I could make a cake for them, and I, you know, that's when Cake Boss and everything started coming out, and there was lots of stuff on TV. And so I said, well, let me see if I can get some fondant and try to play with it a little bit. And I just kind of went crazy from there, started playing with fondant, seeing what I could do with it, and watching lots of YouTube videos starting out, and was working at the bank, and I started getting more and more requests for cakes. And I finally, after about a year and a half, I told my husband, I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, I should probably go to school and actually learn how to do it right, because I was spending half the time making mistakes and then the other half actually accomplishing. So we made the decision and checked out a bunch of culinary schools, and I signed up with Oregon Culinary Institute. And before then, I wanted to learn about chocolate too. And so I went down to San Francisco and took a bunch of chocolatiering classes and got that under my belt. And then last year went to Portland and got my degree in culinary arts. And so that's about it. That's where it all took off from.
And so for our listeners who haven't seen your cakes, they're all incredibly elaborate. I've seen a basketball with a full backboard. I've seen a full-sized cat with whiskers and a little curly tail.
They're completely customizable, yes.
How do you even start a project like that? How do you design a cake?
It really comes from just having conversation with the people that are ordering. You know, it's not just a walk in and you get a sheet cake. It's a, well, what are your colors? Do you have any swatches? What is this person that you're getting the cake for? You know, are there any little inside jokes that you want to reflect in it where they see it and their eyes just light up? And that's the moment that is exciting for me, but really exciting for the people that are ordering. So, yeah, it's pretty fantastic. You know, it's customizing from the buttercream frosting all the way down to little jewels inset into the cake pattern.
And so do you start with a drawing, or do you model this in some way?
I actually ask people with the world of internet, you can go online and find tons and tons and tons of different resources to look at. So they bring me whatever they want, and I sketch up a little bit from just a conversation with them, and we pull, you know, five different things from five different places and come up with something original, which is what I love to do. So, and most of the time we roll with it. It starts out with one thing, and after five or six different sessions, we come up with the perfect cake.
Now, you know, looking at these cakes, the first thing I think about is the structural integrity. How do you get these things
it's
to
scary.
Stand up? So, yeah, you know, maybe you can tell me a little bit, like, how do you build the internal structures for your cake?
That's was one of my first questions when I went to school. I said, transporting was the part that scared me the most, especially knowing that I was coming back to Dutch. Being able to navigate Dutch potholes with these cakes in the back of my car just scared me to death. But I use all butter in my buttercream. Everything's made from scratch. And so the nice thing with that is that when you chill it, it becomes hard. So, you know, when I bake a cake, you bake around, slice it, fill it with that, and then you chill it. So you know that you're having something that's a little bit more stable. And then I use a lot of skewers, and I use a lot of really thick straws, which are a lot easier, food safe to handle. And there is a lot of layers of that cardboard in between cake boards. So yes, there's no falling when it comes to my cakes, because you don't want to spend, you know, 8 to 10 hours decorating something and have it collapse on the floor. So
Wow. So is that how much time it normally takes you to do one of these designs?
Over several days, yeah. A lot of the time, you have to realize that a lot of these things that people are requesting have to dry. You're using a lot of fondant and gum paste, which is just a sugar Play-Doh, essentially. And so you make it, and then you have to let it dry for 2 to 3 days at least. So it becomes a little bit more solid and will hold its structural design on the cake. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about fondant because it wasn't something that I had really heard of until recently.
Something people are scared of.
What is it exactly?
It's a sugar paste. For all intents and purposes, it's like a Play-Doh made out of sugar. It's very elastic. It will dry out. It will crumble if you don't take care of it. But it lasts for a long, long time. My husband loves to eat it. He has a sweet tooth, so he lucked out with me, I guess, in this career change. But that's what it is. If you take a bite of it, and I should have brought you some so you could try, it's very gummy. But a lot of the cakes that I do, a lot of people don't like fondant, or they've never tried it before. They've heard negative things about it. If you buy the right fondant, it's not bad. It's sweet and tastes pretty good, but...
So do you make your own fondant from scratch?
I do not. I have done that. I've made the marshmallow fondant before that I think, you know, a lot of people have heard of. It tastes better, but it doesn't last as long. And it doesn't come out as smooth and pretty. So I use satin ice, which is the same stuff that the Cake Boss uses. And it's high quality and it has a good flavor to it. But all of my cakes, if I use fondant on them, I cover them with buttercream, which is good for anybody that's doing their own cakes at home. If you do plan on playing with fondant, cover your cakes with buttercream first and then make sure it's nice and smooth and then cover it with the fondant. It'll hold the cake together better. It'll hold the moisture in. And that's really what fondant is so good for, is it keeps the cakes really moist.
So what does fondant look like when you get it? Does it come in sheets?
Big lump. That's what it looks like. Nothing spectacular. They come in buckets, and it's a big lump. So you have to knead it just like you would dough, and knead it and warm it with your hands, and then you roll it out with a rolling pin.
Wow. That sounds elaborate.
It's the process. It's fun. It gives you big muscles.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned some tips for, you know, home cooks who are doing this. You know, I wanted to ask you, what kind of equipment do you need for this? Is this something that anybody can do in their kitchen?
You can start playing with it. It gets expensive if you start getting into more elaborate things. But just to play with, you know, you want your kids to make their own cake at home. You can buy the fondant online and just start kneading it and playing with it. And you can use the rolling pin. It tends to stick a little bit, so you want to make sure that you use plenty of powdered sugar, which adds to the fun and chaos for children, but a pain for cleanup for the parents. But it's still a lot of fun. I mean, take pictures with it, post it, you'll remember it. So, yeah.
So this is definitely something that people can experiment with.
Oh,
on
yeah,
their own.
Absolutely. It's how I got started with it, and I love it. If you're going to make it into a career, there's a lot more dedication and a lot more money that needs to be invested into it. But just to really get your hands dirty and have fun with your kids, by all means, it's a blast. Yeah.
So what are some of the resources that you would recommend to people who do want to start doing this? You said YouTube videos is how you started.
I did. Yeah. I got interested by watching TV shows and watching YouTube videos. And from there, there's really anything you can do. You can do anything with sugar. I started making phone calls to people. I wrote some emails to some sugar artists that I found online that I really liked their work. And that's how I learned that you could do sugar sculptures and pulled sugar, which is actually, and sugar blowing, which is like working with glass. And so I investigated that a little bit more. And same with chocolate sculptures that you could, you know, it's just not making bonbons and truffles. You can actually make these amazing, beautiful sculptures and tint chocolate in different colors and tint your sugar and use, you can blow and make bubbles and birds and flowers with sugar. So it takes off. Once you do a couple searches online and you start talking to people, that's when it really gets crazy. It gets exciting, but people are really willing to talk to you.
So do you see yourself as an artist, a sugar artist?
I do, 100%, yes. I love that my cakes taste really good, and that's the ultimate at the end. But seeing people see your work after you're done with it, that's the ultimate joy. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah.
And I have to ask, you know, I'm sure that you've had more than one, but what was your biggest culinary disaster when it comes to cake decorating?
Oh my gosh. When I first started out, there were several times, because like you were talking about the structure of the cake internally, you know, a lot of times you can't stack as high as you would like to go. I did one cake where I didn't have enough cardboard skewers. I had skipped a couple levels because I didn't want that much structure inside, and the cake started to fall in the middle. And so luckily I left enough time for myself, but yeah, it looked like a sinkhole. It was horrible. So structure.
And if people want to, you know, learn about how to make more structurally sound cakes and things like that, do you teach any classes or anything like that?
I am in the process of looking into that. Yeah, I'd like to do something over the PCR, and I've chatted with a couple different people. I'd like to do some entry-level stuff so people can just, again, get their hands dirty with it and see what it's all about.
And avoid their own culinary disasters,
yes,
hopefully.
Please.
In the meantime, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
I'm on Facebook. It's Enticing Icing. If you type in facebook.com/enticingicingcakes, that'll take you directly to my page, and you can see a lot of the other cakes that I've done, and I answer any questions from there if people have them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you for having me. It's great.
That's all for The Exchange. If you missed any part of today's program, we're online at kucb.org. The Exchange is on the air every first and third Wednesday of the month during the legislative session, so keep an eye peeled for our next episode coming up on March 20th. We had production help today from Lauren Adams. I'm Stephanie Joyce. Thanks for tuning in.
And now your local forecast for the Eastern Aleutians, including Unalaska and Nikolsky.
There's a blizzard watch now in effect.